ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण, द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, instructed Arjuna to fight and defeat the enemy. So, who are the enemies? Who can say? Who is the strongest enemies opposing Arjuna? Most formidable enemies, who can say? Any? Duryodhana? He was a very powerful enemy. Yeah, Duryodhana. Then, who else? Karna was a formidable enemy, yeah? Who else? Drona and Bhishma. Bhishma, Drona, Pramukhata, they're described. They're the principal of the enemies. Maybe you didn't like to say Bhishma and Drona because Arjuna had a difficult time thinking of them as enemies. How could he think of them as enemies? They're his gurus. But Krishna told you have to fight and kill these formidable enemies. There's another one, very powerful enemy, Shakuni, yeah, not on the same level as Bhishma, but powerful fighter, no doubt. This is a bit of a trick question. This is a bit of a trick question. What do you say?
Hridaya Dourbalya is the enemy. Weakness of the heart is enemy.
Weakness of the heart. Hridaya Dourbalyam. That's the weakness of the heart. Tyaktva Hridaya Dourbalyam. And what is it? Tyaktva Tishta. Give up the weakness of heart. Well, okay, here's a clue for those who study Bhagavad Gita. I'm giving it away. At the end of the third chapter, who can say?
Lust.
Now some of you got it. Jahi Shatram Mahabaho Kama Rupa Durasadam. So, Shatram. You know this word, you're using that word. What is the great enemy? Very difficult to overcome. Karma rupa. This is the word. The enemy in the form of karma, material desire. It was not... Definitely Bhishma, Drona, Duryodhana, and his brothers, And so many names have been given: Karna, Shakuni, Jayadratha. They're all great warriors, no doubt. But even if someone could conquer all of them, there's a more difficult enemy to overcome, and that is desire, material desire.
So Bhishma, Drona, Jayadratha, you are alone, Nishchitavagi, Dodda, Shatruvaragiru. You run now, Kolboda, Adhikil, you will kill the Dodda, Shatruvaragiru, Kaam, Bhautika Ichchalu, Pradayadaliru, Bhautika Ichchalu.
Hiranyakashipu conquered over the whole universe, but he did not conquer over desire. And therefore, for all his power and majesty and glory, he was in the same position as a worm in stool. Because he was a servant of desire. Everyone in this world, however powerful they may appear to be, everyone is a servant of karma, material desire. There are many famous, powerful, influential people. There have been many, there will be many. Just like at the present time, the Prime Minister of India, everyone knows, is Narendra Modi. And the Chief Minister of Karnataka, I don't know his name. You maybe know his name. What's his name?
Siddharamaya.
Is that a Lingayat name or what is that? Anyway, his name I just learned is Siddharamaya. I'll probably forget it, and I won't, you know, won't badly affect my life. I won't lose anything if I don't know the name. If they want to come and arrest me, they have to do it quick because I'm going to Tamil Nadu early tomorrow morning. I also don't know the name of the Chief Minister there. They're changing so quickly. Can't keep up with it. So anyway, now Siddharamaya is a very prominent person in this area. There have been so many prominent people. Before this democratic system, there were rajas, there were kings. Yeah? Who was the last raja here? Does anyone know his name? This was not under Mysore, I think. The Mysore kings were famous, but this wasn't under Mysore, right? It was. Okay, so they're still going on. It was the late last. Well, there's still the king there in Mysore now, although he's just in name only. Only in name. How many rajas have there been? If you go back 100 years, who could say who is the raja here at that time?
So, 100 years ago,
Maybe you could say, you're big on history. No, there'd be local Rajas also. There's the Samrat or the Samrani was the Victoria, but there's, yeah. There were local kings going on also. Anyway, the point is that so many big, powerful people, they come and go.
So,
but we're always dominated by one great power. What is the greatest enemy affecting India now? Is it Pakistan or China? Or is it pollution? Pradushan. I didn't say Russia, I said pollution. We hear about the pollution in Delhi, well, if it's probably at least half as bad here, in Bangalore. So we needn't worry about the Pakistanis and the Chinese killing us. We're killing ourselves.
So Delhi na yeshtu pradushana ide adra ardha ashtu irbodu. So na Bharat ma Pakistan ma China ma kalla nammane na kontrolta idu.
So what's the biggest enemy? The biggest enemy is karma. If you think that, well, I'll die and then I'll be free from all my problems. No, not true. Some people think, I have so many problems. I know one way to finish them off, and that is atmahatya, suicide. But we continue to live and the problems stay with us. We go from one set of problems to another problems. Just like anyone would like to volunteer and stand up, and I'll tell you what you were in a previous life. I can tell you. Anyone, you stand up and I'll tell you what you were in a previous life. Any volunteers? Anyone? Okay. He already stood up. Anyway, you were a dog and a cat and a camel and a chimpanzee and an Indra and a worm in stool, 8,400,000 species of life. There you go. Bangalore is famous for many things. Traditionally, one thing is astrologers. Huh? It's a good place for astrology. Yeah, just by seeing your face, I can tell you all the important things about your life. Yeah, if I see anyone, I'll tell you, you have a lot of problems. And they'll all agree, yes, how do you know? You've suffered much in this life. Oh yes, true. And you'll continue to suffer. Oh, really? Oh. It's true of everyone. Why? Why should that be? I'm a nice person, I want to be happy, why should I suffer? Here's the answer, karma, material desire. We are bound in this world as prisoners. Really? Where's the ropes? I don't look like a prisoner. We're bound by the ropes of material desire. It's very important to know, isn't it? Huh? Were you taught this in school? In school, they taught you how to increase your material desire. Work hard, study hard. Then you can get a job, good job, in which you will spend your whole life working hard. And then you'll get money. And with money you can fulfill your desires. So maybe not directly, but this is what we're taught in school and everywhere. The same message is coming from the newspapers, the TV, everyone. Work hard, get money, and fulfill your desires. No one questions this. We can't think of anything else. Unless someone comes and tells us. Arjuna, he couldn't think of it. He was thinking, well, what's the best way we can all be happy? There are many good people, religious people in this world. But actually, they're all our enemies also. Because they teach us, you be good, you be religious, then you can be happy in this world. But the real problem... Yeah, anyway, translate that much. But the very idea that we will be happy in this world is our greatest enemy. Because whatever we do, however hard we try, we can never be happy in this world. Material desire will never give us any happiness. Even if we're very good and we think we'll all live very happily and peacefully together, that's also a kind of material desire. We still have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. And in this world, even if we think we'll be good, we always have some enemies. And we don't know how to be good, so we think we'll kill the animals and eat them, and then we'll be good like that. We'll feed our children with nice meat so they can get big, strong bodies. Or another way to try to fulfill the desires is to be bad, like Hiranyakashipu. So whether we're good or whether we're bad, whether we're pious or sinful, we're just trying to fulfill our material desires. And this misconception that we can be happy by fulfilling material desires is our greatest enemy. So how can we overcome the enemy? Very powerful enemy. We can't even see the enemy. Arjuna could see Bhishma, and he knew that to defeat him he had to shoot arrows into him. That would be very difficult because Bhishma is an expert fighter. But at least he knew what he had to do to defeat Bhishma. But what if you don't even know who your enemy is? And then you find out, but you don't know how to overcome them. First of all, where is the enemy? The enemy is outside, inside, everywhere we go, at every moment. Seems impossible. But if at all we are of going to overcome a powerful enemy, we have to know how to do that. Where does this enemy get strength from? So we're supposed to be talking about Krishna. I didn't speak much about Krishna. But Krishna himself speaks about this formidable enemy called lust. The goal of life is to reawaken our dormant love for Krishna. Why don't we love Krishna? It is natural to love Krishna. Krishna, where is Krishna? Krishna is everywhere. Why don't we see Krishna? Maya javani kapchanam. Krishna is covered to our vision by the curtain of illusion. That illusion, manifests as the desire to enjoy this world. Kaam and prema are very similar. What goes on in this world in the name of prema is mostly karma, material desire. It's, if at all we are to develop our spiritual life and come to the platform of love of Krishna, we have to know the difference between karma, material desire, and prema, pure love of Krishna. Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bole Kam. The desire to satisfy these material senses, that is called karma, material desire. Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dhare Premanam. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prema. So it shouldn't be a very difficult thing to come from karma, material desire, to the platform of love of Krishna. If we simply understand that I am not this body, I am an eternal spiritual being. My eternal self-interest is in pleasing Krishna. And the desire to try to fulfill my sensual desires that binds me in this material world and makes me forget my relationship with Krishna. If we simply understand this, then we become free from material desire. It's a simple thing to understand, is it not? Intellectually, it's not a difficult thing to understand. I'm not this body. What is this body? Can anyone remember from this biology class? This body is mostly water, 90-something%, that means a lot of hydrogen and oxygen. Yeah, among the solid elements, carbon is, but mostly water. At least that's what I was taught at school. Maybe they teach something else now, because science changes all the time. It's not really knowledge, it's just different guesswork that they do. But at least when I was at school, the body was about 97% water. Nowadays, it's probably all styrofoam and all these, you know, you eat from these plastic plates, so it's probably 97% plastic now. Anyway. And there's a lot of carbon there also. Yeah. and there's more carbon by breathing in all the traffic fumes, you get plenty of carbon monoxide. Yeah, and then there's nitrogen, and there's gold in everyone's body also. Right? There's gold. If you kill 1 billion people and extract the gold, you might get 1 gold coin. Not recommended, but just saying it theoretically. Okay, but I am not hydrogen. That's easy to understand, right? If I was hydrogen, you wouldn't see. And just be floating. I'm not oxygen. This is chemistry class going on here. I am not carbon. I'm not nitrogen. Not gold either. I'm not a combination of chemicals. I am not chemicals. You are not chemicals. If we are chemicals, then why do we lament when someone dies? Or maybe we rejoice. If it's an enemy, maybe we, oh good, he died. Why should we care? Okay, I'm just having a look, as you can see, to see what this... It was two tables, they're two small tables, made of metal and wood. So, with a blowtorch and a hammer, you could probably dismantle this table, smash it up, and take it to pieces. Okay, so maybe after this program I'll smash up the table. I don't know if they do it now, but there used to be some Western rock groups. At the end of the concert, they'd get their guitar and smash it into the speaker and smash up the whole, all the drums and the guitars and the speakers and everything. So if I started smashing up this table, you'd think it's a pretty strange thing to do. But no one would say, oh, the poor table. Oh, why are you hurting the table? And maybe the police would be called and say, well, hey, you, that's someone else's table. You're breaking the law. You have to pay for a new table. They probably wouldn't come for such a small thing. You'd have to blow up the building to get the police to come. But if I took a hammer and started, I'm not going to do it, this is all theoretical, and started beating some human, beat them on the head and kill them, that would be, oh, very bad. serious crime, murder. So why should we make a big fuss if someone smashes a human body to pieces and not if someone smashes a table to pieces? It's all chemicals. This is a bunch of, the table is a bunch of chemicals, the body is a bunch of chemicals, so what's the difference? The reason is because we are not chemicals, we are Atma, eternal living being. We are entrapped in a body and therefore we feel pain and pleasure. But at school they teach you, well, it's all chemicals, right? How did the universe come into being? There was nothing, and then there was a big bang. Not a small bang, a very big bang. Then all of a sudden, scientifically, everything came into being. All the laws of science, they all came into being. Just like that. No one arranged it, but just... the laws of thermodynamics and the laws of entropy and everything all just came in with an explosion. So, well, Srishti gives the idea of a Srashta. Creation gives the idea of a creation. It's not really a creation, it's just like that. No creation. So what does that mean? That means everything is just chemicals. There's no principle of life. Just all chemicals. You're chemicals, I'm chemicals. Everything's just chemicals. If you do your biology class or whatever and you write this, you'll get very good, 100%. In your, I don't know, biology, biochemistry, whatever, science class, in your science examination, if you say that, well, the universe, it's just chemicals, then they'll give you a tick, yes, correct. So you'll pass your science exam. And you'll fail your whole life. Because human life is given by God, who's the actual creator. Is meant for understanding that we are not the body, we are not chemicals, we are eternal spiritual beings, Atma. So there's another big enemy for us. It's called education. The whole materialistic society is giving us wrong information. We get this rare human form of life which is meant for getting out of the cycle of birth and death, but the whole society and the whole educational system teaches us that we are simply chemicals. And in this way we waste our rare human form of life which is meant for God realization. And we waste it in trying to enjoy our senses. Which is an impossible proposition. So then again we become a cat, a dog, a monkey, a chimpanzee, a camel, a worm in stool, again and again and again. So another enemy, another kind of enemy is all these sadhus and religious teachers. They present themselves as if they are spiritual guides, but they don't teach us this. They just teach, be good, be nice. Kisiko nafarat nahi karna. I say, Bolte. I said in Hindi. I saw on TV once. There's some famous guru saying, Kisiko nafarat nahi karna. But that doesn't teach us what is the real meaning of life. Don't hate any bit. Be nice to everyone. That's the idea. Smile and be nice. There's another rascal who's based in Bangalore, who's supposed to be a big religious leader. This one is based somewhere, Delhi, somewhere like that. The other one, the Nafarat Nahi Karna Wala. Don't know where he's from. Where's he from? Ramdi? Haryana? He says that my aim in life is to put a smile on everyone's face. That's nice, isn't it? Nice. That's a very nice idea, huh? Put a smile on everyone's face. No, he's a rascal because he's taking the position of a spiritual teacher, but he doesn't give spiritual teachings. Spiritual teaching begins by understanding that I am not this body. This desire or multiple desires that I have to try to enjoy this world, this is my enemy. Unless we understand this, we can't get out of this cycle of birth and death. So, You may have a smile on your face, but you have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease again and again. So Krishna gave Arjuna a completely different perspective on life. If we take the meta-narrative, that's a trendy word in English. It means the main theme of Bhagavad Gita. It is Krishna is inducing Arjuna to fight. But actually, Krishna could have just told Arjuna, look, do what I say, fight. There would be no need for Bhagavad Gita. Just do what I say, fight. But he explained the whole philosophy of life. He gave Arjuna a completely different perspective on reality. By which Arjuna could understand what is actually his real self-interest and Duryodhana's self-interest. The greatest enemy of Arjuna was the same as the greatest enemy of Duryodhana, even though they were on opposite sides. Then why didn't Krishna speak Bhagavad Gita to Duryodhana? Because Arjuna was willing to listen and hear from Krishna. Arjuna was humble enough to hear Krishna. Duryodhana thought, I don't need to listen to any spiritual knowledge. The spiritual life begins with hearing. By which we can understand what is the actual situation? What a terrible situation that we're in. We are being crushed life after life by an enemy, and we don't even know this. We don't even know that we're not meant for suffering, we're meant for eternal blissful life. We don't have to suffer. We don't even know. So who is our greatest friend? Someone who tells us, informs us, we don't have to suffer like this. When we say that the education system and the whole society is our enemies, people may get upset. People, they think, no, if someone thinks how I want to benefit society, a philanthropist, I'll open a school. They think they're doing good by benefiting the children so they get education. And superficially it might seem that they are benefiting the children. Because the children, if they get a good education, then instead of being auto drivers and toilet cleaners, they could become maybe an IT professional. So that's benefiting, that's helping people, isn't it? It's better to be an IT engineer than a toilet cleaner. But still you have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. And of course, many people who are educated, they end up driving auto rickshaws anyway because they don't get a job as an IT professional. So those, they become a very frustrated auto driver, because the auto driver without an education, he never expected anything more anyway. But anyway, the real education is to educate us in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is. To understand that we are not meant to suffer in this material world. We are meant to live eternally and blissfully with Krishna in the spiritual world. Any other conception of life than this simply causes us to suffer again and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Again and again there is birth, again and again there is death. Punarapi janani jathare shayanam. Again and again we have to enter the womb of a mother. Yaha sangsare bahudustare. To get out of this cycle of birth and death, very difficult. Kripaya tare pare murari. Therefore we have to take shelter of Krishna, who can take us out of this horrible cycle of birth and death. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the best friend of everyone. Because we're giving the actual knowledge by which we can be benefited. Unless we know how to benefit others, even unknowingly, we will act as their enemies. Krishna's teachings, they give us the clue by which we can stop trying to be happy in this world and simply act for the pleasure of Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness.